All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2. 2 Kings, chapter 2. I think it was last week, it may have been the week before that, but I was sitting at my desk and working on, I think it was the Wednesday night Bible study, and I ran across something, and that sent me looking for something else, and anyway, I ended up seeing something that I had never seen before, and so my immediate reaction was, I got to call Brother Glenn to see if he knows this. Now, isn't that awful? Oh, my heart was just broken. Wow. And I'm saying that because Glenn preached a message one time years ago at a camp meeting. It was a tent meeting, and on the passage that I'm going to preach from now. Of course, he preached on the third letter of the ninth word. You know, I'll never forget it. And he preached like Paul. He waxed long that night. We were all on ground floor, so nobody fell out of the rafters and broke their neck. Amen. But nonetheless, it just grieved me when that happened. I thought, he's not here to talk to anymore. But anyway, I digress. All right, now, I want you to follow along. This is a lengthy story, and I thought about just reading a couple of verses and then just having you kind of scan it and look at it as I go. But I'll probably spend more time reading the text than I will preaching the message. All right, the message preaches itself. But let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 2, and I would like to read down to verse 15. All right, now you'll notice in verse 16 there begins a new paragraph. All right, so the story is about to change in verse 16. But what happens here in chapter 2 is so important. And there are so many vital little truths that we can glean from this. And I trust that it'll be an encouragement and a help to you this evening. All right, look at verse 1, please. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha." All right, don't get confused. They're two different men. All right, and so Elijah and Elisha, verse 2, Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here. Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." Now, Bethel, you know, means what? The house of God. Exactly right. The Lord hath sent me to Bethel. Now, you don't ever want to stay away from the house of God. All right? So you always want to go to God's house. And so when Elijah told Elisha to stay there, of course, you know, he refused. Look at the rest of the verse. It says, "And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they speaking of the both of them, went down to Bethel. They went to the house of God. Now, folks, listen, it's really important in serving the Lord that that if you say that you're going to do something, you do it. All right? That's so important in the Lord's work because, you know, we make commitments to God and then we don't follow through on our commitments. And, you know, the Lord's watching. He's taking note of all that. And so when we say we're going to do something, then we ought to do it. So that's what Elisha did. He said it, but he didn't. They weren't just words. He also did what he said he was going to do. He said, I will not leave thee. And he didn't. All right, look at verse 3. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said to Elisha, Tarry here. All right, so in verse 2, he told him to tarry in Bethel. And now he says, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yes, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. Now, that's the Jordan River. All right, now everybody look up here for just a moment for just for you to get the picture in your mind, okay? Way up north in Israel, right at the Lebanon-Syrian border, there is a mountain. And that mountain is called Mount Hermon. And it is snow-covered most of the time. And that mountain is humongous. I mean, it is absolutely huge. And that mountain is the source for the Jordan River. And that's the same Jordan that is being discussed here. That Elijah is telling Elisha, you stay here, I've got to go to the Jordan River. Now, when you get down through there, all right, Jordan means descending. And the reason is because it descends from way up north of Israel right up next to Mount Hermon. Actually, the river today comes right out of the bottom of the mountain. All right, you can walk over there and see it. And there used to be a place there where the Romans would come and worship their false gods. And in Christ's day, that water came out of that great big mouth looking thing, a cave. The water came right out of that cave and then made its way descending down to the Dead Sea, which is the lowest place on the planet. All right, and so they call it Jordan, which means descending, because that's exactly what it does. From the time it comes out, you are descending until you get down to the Dead Sea. All right, so I want you to see this now in your mind. If you're standing in Jericho, you're standing in the city of Jericho, you can look right down on the Jordan River. All right, now it's not as close as from here to McDonald's, all right? It's a little bit further than that. I would say it's probably about as far as here. I don't know, maybe down to on just the other side of Koontz Toyota, all right? But it's all open. Everything is open. You can look up to the north and you can see the water. You can see where it's descending its way down from Mount Hermon. And so in Jericho, that's where they are, Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah says, why don't you tarry here? I'm going down to the Jordan. Now, I'm sure that Elisha was sitting there thinking, good grief, how much more are you going to walk? You know, today's the day. If today's the day that you're supposed to be taken up to heaven, how much further is this going to go? And so, you know, he could have very, very selfishly, and if he had done this, then he would not have gotten the double portion. But what he could have done was stand there in Jericho and just watch as Elijah walked down that valley and walked down into the Jordan valley to the Jordan River. And he could have witnessed still the whole thing. You say, well, how do you know that? I know that because that's what the sons of the prophets did. They did not go down where Elijah was translated up to heaven in a whirlwind. They stayed up in Jericho and looked down and watched it. All right, so what happened? Well, Elisha said, no, I'm not going to do that. He said in verse 6, I will not leave thee. And so they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. So what they did was they said, oh, we don't want to miss this. We don't want to miss this. So they went, not so they could get involved in the thing, but just so they could see what was happening. You know, that old nosy human nature kicks in, doesn't it? You know, I got to see it. And so that's what kind of what they were doing. All right, now look at verse 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. In other words, watch me. They were divided here and there. All right, so the river's coming down. And he takes his mantle on this side, on the Israel side of the river, and folds it in half and smites the water with it. And when he did, the water was divided there and there. All right, that's what that statement means. All right, read on. So that they too went over on dry ground. Boy, God likes that dry ground stuff, doesn't he? Yeah, he did it a lot. Look at verse 9. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, give me $1,000,000. No? Now, that's not what he said, is it? No, he did not say that. He kept it on the spiritual realm where it should have been, where we all ought to live. It says, and Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, if you go back and read Elijah's account in the book of 1 Kings, you are going to see that Elijah did 8 miracles. 8. And so Elisha is asking for a double portion of power so that he could do more than what Elijah did. And what Elijah did was awesome. It was just amazing. And now he is saying, I want to do more. All right, verse 10. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou shalt see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked. Now, again, look at me. So here's the sons of the prophets now. They're standing where they got a good vantage point. All right, so he hits the water's part, the two of them walk over on dry ground. Now picture this in your mind. Right out in front of them it's just mountainous. All right, it's just mountainous. They're not little tiny mountains, okay? They're not Catoctin mountains. No, these are big dudes. All right, these are the mountains of Moab, and they are big. And so they are walking up, and they're over here standing. I don't know where they were, but it doesn't matter. They're watching, and my point is, no matter where they were watching, they could see what was happening. All right, everybody got that now? Everybody see that? So they can see, the sons of the prophets can see what's going on. And so they're walking up the mountain like they're going up on the mountains of Moab. And so now let's pick it up down here at verse 11. It says, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And in other words, it separated them. It separated them. I don't know how exactly that happened, but it separated them. Got Elijah and Elisha apart from one another. Why? Well, so Elisha could see Elijah go up to heaven. That's why. All right, and so it says, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried. In other words, he shouted it out. He cried it out. Doesn't mean he was bawling, shedding tears, but he lifted his voice and he prayed to God, and he said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more. So Elisha saw Elijah no more. All right, everybody see that? And he, it says, and he saw him no more. And then it says that Elisha took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Now, why did he do that? Well, that was a sign of brokenness on his heart. I mean, he has been following his mentor. He has been trailing him, and he knows he can't lose sight, or he's not going to get the power and the blessing of God upon his life like Elijah had it. And he wants that. That's what he wants. He wants that double portion of the spirit that Elijah possessed. And so he rips his clothes, his tunic probably, his outward garment, and rips it. And he is broken. His heart is broken. His mentor is gone. His friend is gone. And so he is a brokenhearted man. Now watch. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him as he was going up in the whirlwind. Okay? And it says, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Wow, wow, wow. What a wonderful story that is. This is how Elijah was translated, just like Enoch of old, that he should not see death. Amazing story. All right, let's pray, and then I want to give you just a couple of things here this evening. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray you'll bless this as we open the scriptures and try to point out some things that will help us in our Christian life, help us as we serve you. And Father, I pray that we will all ask ourselves the question that Elisha asked of you. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Oh, how we need your hand of blessing, how we need your power as we serve you in this evil day in which we live. Father, we're so thankful that the Spirit of God that you sent back when you ascended up to heaven, that same Holy Spirit dwells and lives within us. And so, Father, help us tonight to realize the importance of being filled with the Spirit of God and just allowing the Holy Spirit of God to use us in a great way. Father, you used Elisha the way that you used Elijah. And so, Father, help us to just sit here tonight and say, wow, what could the Lord do with me? What could the Lord do with me? How could the Lord use me? And Father, speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen. Now, I want you to notice here, folks, that Elisha was driven to have the hand and the power of God upon him. I mean, it was not just something that that he thought, you know, well, I'll just wait till the old man dies and then I'll go down and pray a little bit and God will give me what I'm asking for. No, it wasn't that at all. I mean, he knew that there were conditions in order for him to be filled with the power of God, a power that would enable him to do twice what Elijah had done. And so notice that Elijah says, and he says it three times here in each city that they came to. He told Elisha, if you see me go up, you can have that double portion. You can have whatever you ask. And so he said, well, I will not leave thee. And then he turns right around and says, well, stay here. I'm going down there. And Elisha said, no, sir. No, I'm not going to leave you. And so even though he's going, these towns aren't great distances apart from one another. But if you walked between the Gilgal and Jericho and then the Jordan River, well, that would be a long day for you. All right, for anybody in this room, even you young people, It would be a long day and a long walk for you. And so Elisha said, I want to stay with you. I don't care where you go, I'm going with you. And I want that double portion of your spirit. And so when he said, I will not leave thee, that is exactly what he did. He said it, and then he followed through with it. And boy, did God bless him for following through. Now, I want you to notice something else here. I want you to notice the sons of the prophets. They knew something spectacular was about to happen. They knew that. I don't know how they knew it, but they knew. And Elisha knew it. And had they been talking about it that morning? I do not know. But evidently they were, because everybody was in on it. Today is the day that the Lord is going to take Elijah home to heaven. And so Elisha said, well, I'm not letting you out of my sight. And so when he went from Gilgal to Jericho, right there he went with him. And he just didn't let him out of his sight. All right, now let's look at the sons of the prophets. They knew something was going to happen too, didn't they? I mean, if you look at verse 5, they said to Elisha, knowest thou that the Lord will take away Elijah? And then notice what the Bible says. It says that they stood to view afar off. They stood to view afar off. You know, I kind of wonder how many folks in our churches today are viewing afar off what the Lord's doing, instead of getting involved in what the Lord's doing. I enjoy watching the Holy Spirit use you. I enjoy the Holy Spirit blessing you. No, how about you being blessed by the Holy Spirit as well? You see, we need everybody. We need everyone to get involved. And I think there are a lot of Christians who are like these sons of the prophets. Now, who were these sons of the prophets? Well, what it basically means is they were preacher boys. They were studying for the ministry. Elijah had started this school of the prophets. That's what he calls it. Now, every year at the Sword Conference, Dr. Smith does a nuts and bolts afternoon session for all the pastors, and the whole idea is just to teach pastors the nuts and bolts of pastoring a church, all right? And what does he call it? He calls it the school of the prophets. That's what he calls it, the school of the prophets. And he has of course, himself, but he also has others. I've helped him innumerable times through the years, and so has others. And what he does is he brings veteran pastors, guys that have been in the ministry for a long time, and he stands us before all those preachers and says, now, Pastor Norris, I want you to teach on this. And this year I taught on how to start a soul winning club. I mean, just simple stuff, you know? But you'd be amazed, folks, at the number of churches all across America who have zero soul-winning outreach. You would literally be shocked. If I named off some big churches that some of you would know, and I said, guess what? There is no organized soul winning in that local church. You'd be shocked. You would literally be shocked. And so Dr. Smith said, can you come and just tell them how it's done? Just tell them how you do it at Open Door. And that's how he introduced it. That's how he introduced it. He said, Brother Belcher's going to come, and he's going to explain to you how they do soul winning at the church where he pastors. And that's what it did. And he calls that the school of the prophets. And I think that there are a lot of folks who are just like these young men in the school of the prophets. They are content to stand on the roadside and know that something great is possible, but to stand afar off, oh, they don't want to get involved. Somebody might ask him to do something, you know, or they'll let somebody else's mantle fall beside the Jordan River, but they don't want to be there to pick it up. I'm telling you, folks, we need to realize that the fullness of the Holy Spirit is not just for the pastor. It's not just for the soul winning director. It's not just for the team director. It's not just for the visitation director. It's not just for the hospital visitation director. It's not just for the Super 60s pastor or the music pastor, but the filling of the Holy Spirit is for every single believer. Don't be like these sons of the prophets. You know, I can see these guys talking amongst themselves. Somebody says, you know, we ought to go down there. Another one says, oh, I don't know. I don't have my diploma yet, do you? Well, phooey on your diploma. All right, that just means you spent a bunch of money. That's what that means. That's no guarantee you got anything. It just means you spent a lot of money in 4 or 5 years, in my case, 5 years of your life, cramming 4 years of education into 5 years. Oh, that's an art right there. But I did it. I did it. Successfully, too. Yeah. So, folks, I tell you what we do. We just stand back and we're content to watch somebody else do it. Well, wouldn't you like to do it? I think you would. I don't think you would be here tonight if you did not want to live for God and serve the Lord. And here's the good news. You can. You can if you just will. It's that simple. All right? So look at verse 9 now. Real quick. I only got a couple minutes left here, so look at verse 9. In verse 9, Elisha, we see Elisha's request. And here's what he says. The Bible says, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. A double portion. Wow, that is quite a request. You know, Elijah asked, and here's the amazing thing to me, Elisha knew exactly what he wanted. He didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to go and say, well, wait a minute, I got to go get some parchments and read the notes that I wrote down during homiletics class. No, he knew exactly what he needed and what he wanted. He wanted the fullness of the Holy Spirit, a double portion of the power that Elijah had. And folks, think about it. He could have asked for any number of things. But what he asked for was really, when you stop and think about it, the most important thing he could have asked for. And that is the power of God. That's what we need in our churches today. I think that we have somehow or another gotten away from allowing the Holy Spirit of God to do the work through us. We've gotten to the place where we know how to do it. And so we do it, And we often do it in the power of our own flesh and not in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So let's get concerned about that and see if we can't make a little change in some areas. You know, what's needed today is just a good old-fashioned power with God. I'm not talking about a better church or bigger crowds or more learning, but just old-fashioned, barnstorming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling, Holy Ghost power from God. That's what's needed. That's what's needed. And the thing we need the most is the thing that we don't pursue at all. You say, well, how do you pursue something like that? You ask for it. You say, well, who do I ask? I would ask the one who gives it. That's who I'd ask. I mean, we sing about it, and sometimes we'll even pray for it. But here's a question to ask yourself. Are you willing to do without the power of God in your life? You know, it just might help. The power of God just might help as you witness. You know, you go to tell somebody about the Lord, and they just, you know, give you the old turn-off switch. And it's like you're talking to a dead person. I mean, there's just no life there. And you say, well, aren't you concerned about your soul? Oh, I got plenty of time. Yeah. And they start to reason and rationalize and think to themselves, I don't need this. I don't need this. Yeah, they do need this. You say, well, what's the Holy Spirit going to do? Well, the Holy Spirit is going to convict them, and He's going to give power to your words so that when you share with them the thing that they need, it doesn't just go in this ear and come flying out this ear. But the Holy Spirit convicts and says, you better listen to this preacher. He knows what he's talking about. You better listen to this soul winner. This soul winner is telling you how you can escape hell. You better listen to him. And folks, that's why we need that double portion of the Spirit of God. You know, you say, well, I could take it or leave it. Well, as long as you feel that way, you're usually going to leave it. You know? That's right. Pastor, I just could take it or leave it. Don't even think that way. You ought to realize that the Lord wants to use you to help somebody get to heaven. And if you're full of the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to be 10,000 times more apt to share the gospel than if you weren't. A double portion. You see, Elisha knew how to get it. He knew how to get it. He said, I will not leave thee. In other words, he stayed consistently right with Elijah. Even after Elijah tried to dump him, he said, no, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going with you. And so then he gets to the other town. Elijah turns around and says, Elisha, you stay here. No, I've told you. Wherever you go, I'm going. And so he followed him. And now I'm sure, listen, folks, it is always scalding hot in Jericho. I don't care if it's January the 1st. It's hot in Jericho. And when you start out of Jericho, you're going down. And you can see it all, and you think, wow, I can walk down. Yeah, you can. Question is, can you walk back up? Because you're going to have to. You're going to have to. And so you're standing there looking down and seeing all this, and Elisha says, even if you're going to the Jordan, I'm going with you. And he stayed with him. Folks, do you know why a stamp gets the job done? Because it sticks to the letter. That's why it gets its job done. It sticks to it. It sticks to it. So Elisha's question, well, where's the Lord God? Where's the Lord God? Look at verse 14. He asked that question once the mantle fell upon him. And the Bible says he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Oh, I wish some folks would just ask that question tonight. I mean, you look at your teenage daughter, your teenage son, and you think, what in the world is it going to take to reach them? Well, I tell you one thing that would help tremendously is a spirit-filled parent. You say, well, I got a neighbor, and every time I witness to him, he gets mad. What's going to reach him? Well, a spirit-filled soul winner might reach him. Why don't you just say, Lord, give me a double portion of thy spirit. I want to be used. I want to be used of the Lord to do great things. And you know, today, men ask that question, where's the Lord God of Elijah? And some ask it almost in unbelief, like it cannot ever be known. They ask it sometimes in irony, as if they're poking fun. Some sneer at and joke about us saying, you know, where's your God? I thought your God was coming back. Well, where is he? And that's exactly what Peter said the scoffers were going to do in the last days. We're here, folks. We're here. And folks all over are asking in these magazines that neo-evangelicals are putting out and the liberals are putting out, and they ask the question all the time, where's God? Well, he's in good shape. And I'm going to tell you, folks, everything's right on schedule. I mean, I don't know why we get so down and discouraged. Well, it's a terrible world, Pastor. I know that. But didn't the book say it was going to wax worse and worse in the last days? Sure it did. You should not be surprised that the world is in the shape that it's in today. You say, well, it's just so bad. Yeah, it's bad. And it's going to get worse. But do we quit? Well, boy, Elisha didn't. No, he just stayed with it. He just stayed right along. And you say, but Pastor, look at all of the apostasy in our world today. Yeah, I know. It's really bad, isn't it? But that ought not discourage us. We know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Old Vance Havner one time said that we preach a gospel that is God's dynamite. It's God's dynamite. And that's the word for power. That's one of the words for power. Dynamos. Does that sound familiar to you? Dynamite. That's where we get our English word dynamite. And we have a gospel that is the power, it is the dynamite of God. And Vance Havner would say all the time, we preach a gospel that is God's dynamite, and yet we live little firecracker lives. Oh my. That's right down where the huckleberries grow, isn't it, huh? We sing of the old time power and victory in Jesus, and there's power in the blood and standing on the promises and living on higher ground. And yet, when we go out the door, we leave the hymns in the hymn book. Oh, don't leave it all here, folks. I mean, you come in, you sing these great songs of Zion, and we're going to continue to sing these great songs of Zion. They have the message of the Bible in them. So we're going to keep singing them. And we sing all these great hymns, and then we go out the door, and it's like we never even went to church. Let's take it with us. Let's don't live little firecracker lives. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 26, the Bible tells us that when Jesus had a service, and it was a grand day, and the Bible said that the people went home and they were amazed and they were glorifying God and they were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Now, that word did not mean strange. It did not mean weird things. All right, if you want to see weird, plenty of that around. All right? We have seen strange things. What's that mean? That means things you can't quite put a finger on. And the reason you can't put a finger on it is because it wasn't man that did it. It was God that did it. You know, you hear him say, "Well, that's a man thing." No, that's a God thing. God does things, and we sit and scratch our heads and go, "Wow, how'd that happen?" Well, God did it. That's how it happened. That divine appointment, where God just puts somebody right in your pathway. Folks, don't leave your salvation in the church during the week. Take it home with you and live it and learn it and be a Christian every minute of every day and just ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit so that you can be a witness for Him. Just that simple. It's just that simple. There was an old preacher down in West Virginia. He's in heaven now. And every time I saw him, he would just come a running at me. And he'd stick his hand out, and I'd stick my hand out, and we'd shake hands, and he'd grab me around the shoulder and pull me to him. He's a great big guy. And he'd pull me to him, and he would then push me away, and he would say, "You've been praying for me?" And I would look at him and say, "Yes, sir." He said, "Now listen, I want you to pray for me." I say, "Okay." He said, "I need the prayer." I'd say, "Okay, you need to practice." I never forgot that. We all need that practice, don't we? Oh, listen, just keep short accounts with God. And let's do what God would have us do. I think we've been running at subnormal for so many years now. We don't even realize we're running at subnormal anymore. Elisha got his double portion, though. Elijah had 8 miracles, and Elisha had 16. And boy, if we just ask the Lord will provide for us as well. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you now for your precious word. And I pray that you will bless this to each and every one of our hearts tonight. There is such a great need today for believers, for lay folks, for choir members and deacons and Sunday school teachers, soul winners, school teachers. Father, just so many needs among the rank and file that make up every church. And so, Father, I ask you, please, to give us a hungering and a thirsting for the power of the Holy Spirit of God in our daily lives. And Father, James tells us we have not because we ask not. So, dear Lord, give us a burdened heart and help us to ask, to seek your face, and to find that power that's available. So speak to our hearts, Father, we pray.